I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the start of the legislative session, Athens priorities for lawmakers, the upcoming MLK Day of Service, and a statewide honor for the Athens Regional Library System. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Blake Odd with Flagpole, Gwen O'Looney with WXAG, and local artist Broderick Flanagan, chair of the Day of Service Steering Committee. So, of course, welcome everyone, and we'll go ahead and start with the start of the session this week. Lawmakers headed back to the Gold Dome at the state capitol.
They headed back and then they quickly left again. the session gaveled in on Monday, and then everybody took a day break on Tuesday after the national championship game, which the less we talk about, the better, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the dogs did a great job.
Oh, they did. We're proud of them.
Yes.
Yep. Very proud of the dogs.
We beat them in every stat. We just didn't win.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Yeah.
Still a very painful memory.
It was
too soon.
It was heartbreaking. So the legislators.
Anyway, they're back. They came back on Wednesday. They took a day off. They came back on Wednesday. You know, things are just kind of getting geared up. We had Governor Deal's State of the State address on Thursday. This will be his last session. You know, he'll be replaced. He's term limited and he'll be replaced in November. Probably won't see a whole lot of action, you know, until we get closer to crossover day here in about a month or 6 weeks, when you start to run up against the deadlines to get the bills out of one chamber and into the other.
And there's a lot of action then.
Well, there's a lot of action then, yeah. But, you know, the first few weeks are usually pretty quiet. The big thing we have going on here in Athens is we have two new state representatives who were both elected in a special election in November.
Right.
Jonathan Wallace and Deborah Gonzalez. Who are two Democrats who replaced two Republicans who resigned to take different jobs with the state. And that was a pretty surprising result, considering that those districts are so generally so far to the right that the Democrats hadn't even bothered to run anyone
for multiple elections.
In multiple election cycles. Mm. Now with a special election, you know, it can be a little bit easier to pull off an upset, and they did. You know, they had tremendous turnout in Clark County for a special election. I think it was well over 30%, which is much higher than you usually see. And, you know, instead of having one Democrat and two Republicans in the House, we now have three Democrats representing heavily Democratic Athens in the House for the first time in decades.
That didn't just surprise us. That surprised people running.
It even made national news.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was part of a little mini wave of elections that were happening last November. You know, the most high profile probably being the governorship of Virginia, which was won by Ralph Northam, a Democrat, by a surprisingly high margin. I think he won by 8 or 9 points in what's usually a swing state. So that was a pretty big victory. And there were others, you know, in Virginia and in New Jersey and other places where Democrats had a really good night, and so it kind of gave the party a little bit of energy and a little bit of hope for 2018, for this year, this November, when there's going to be many, many more offices on the line.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of those guys that are running against each other and trying to jerk each other's chains. It'll be interesting to see what they're willing to do to disrupt each other's plans. How far to the right some will go to show that they're for religious liberty, quote unquote. It's also interesting to me, if we really do want Amazon, if we are really serious about Amazon, how much weight do they carry? How much can they say we don't want to be in a state that is limited in its ability to hire people to have, you know, gay people want to come here and live a full life. So Amazon will be interesting, but it's only going to be 1 year. It's only going to be deals. So the minute they say yes, will they lose their impact? It'll be interesting to see.
Last year there was a bill to overhaul the state's adoption laws. And that died because there were some senators who wanted to put an amendment in there saying that these adoption firms, that they did not have to adopt kids out to
if they were religious
same-sex couples.
Yeah, if they were against their yeah.
Which because there's been so much debate over this religious liberty bill and economic development and the fact that companies don't want to come here if we have these discriminatory laws, then the speaker just spiked the whole thing, and that's an issue that's very near and dear to his heart. So now the latest that we've heard, the AJC reported a couple days ago that the Senate is ready to pass a clean version of that bill, which is going to quickly pass the House, and that'll probably take the religious liberty debate really out of the picture.
I think so.
Probably for this session at least. Right. I'm sure someone will try to push it through, but I don't see it going right. anywhere at all.
Well, when I was director of DFACS in Clark County, we had a number, this was in the early 2000s, we had a number of foster parents and adoptions that were done with same-sex couples, and across the state they were looking very carefully at this, of course, and et cetera, and they came out with stars. Those people were some of our best parents, some of our highest providers, and most constant supporters, and you count that when a kid gets out of college, out of, where just like most parents, they carry them to the end. So we know in our state that they are good parents, and that we need so many foster and adoptive parents in our state. So it would be it's really sad and narrow for us to even consider limiting that as our resource.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there were 700 kids last year who actually had, for lack of a better term, moved out or graduated out of the system, aged out of the system, without ever being adopted because, the process is so onerous. It takes a year to go through the entire process. And so what they want to do is, they want to make it, they want to streamline that so it doesn't take as long. Hopefully you don't have to spend as much on lawyers. Out-of-state people would be easier for them to come into Georgia and adopt kids. So, and we do have a shortage of foster parents. I mean, that was in the news about a year or two ago that they were really desperate for foster parents.
I would love to see them taking a step further, though, and to look at and start addressing, why there are so many children in foster care or that need foster parents. I would love to see them address the root of that issue so that people can, don't have to put their children up for that. I think a lot of people put their children up for adoption because they are unable to take care of them and, the children and themselves because of lack of employment or whatever reason. There are probably a myriad of reasons. But I think from an economic development standpoint, we need to start looking at that so that these people can keep their children in the home and provide a normal life for them.
That's right, Roger. One of the things that I was appalled by, and we were able to turn around with some private monies that were donated to us, was the fact that we can help foster parents buy furniture for the kid, buy the clothes, get all the stuff, where we can't go into the home and do that. And so it's, to me, much more important to prevent and stabilize those families being broken up. That's just, it's not good planning. It doesn't help anybody.
Right.
And what about some of the priorities you think the Athens Commission and Athens community want to see at the House?
Well, one thing that's going to be a really major issue this year is going to be transit, and it remains to be seen how that's going to affect Athens. But Gwen mentioned Amazon earlier, and they've got over 200 communities that are bidding against each other to try to get these 50,000 Amazon jobs. And they want to be in a location that has really good public transit. And, right now Atlanta doesn't have the greatest public transit system. And even Republicans have been realizing these past couple of years that if they want to bring companies into the state, they have to have better transit because the companies want that because their employees want that. And so one of the things they're talking about is kind of, there's this hodgepodge of agencies in the various counties of Metro Atlanta that all provide transit services, and there's a lot of overlap and trying to streamline that and maybe have one agency, that would include MARTA and Cobb County and Gwinnett, and all these agencies that are running express buses downtown and then local service. And there are so many aspects of it that, if you can get one group that's kind of coordinating everything, then that could probably be helpful. And then having You know, they give very little to transit, very little funding. Georgia, just for the first time a couple of years ago, started giving grants to cities to fund transit, and Athens did get a couple of these grants. Athens Transit and the UGA system got grants to buy new hybrid and hybrid electric buses.
Well, Blake, we actually use those buses in Athens.
We do, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've got the second largest transit system in the state behind Atlanta. So, but you know, we talk a lot in this community about expanding transit, and we have a transit development plan that was just released a few days ago, actually, that talks about expanding service into East Athens, up 29, further up 29, further down Atlanta Highway to Caterpillar. Down along Epps Bridge, and creating some more loops, making it easier for people to get around so everything isn't just centralized at the multimodal center downtown. And in order to do this, you need, you know, and to increase the frequency of service, which is a big issue too, to have the bus come more often, which will make it more convenient, you know, you have to have more buses. So, you know, the federal government is probably not going to pay for them. So if we get some more state money to buy these buses, even if they don't pay the operating costs, you know, that would help us out a great deal.
Well, because we just recently started Sunday service. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah, we're very progressive. Athens has, matter of fact, when you talk about services, we almost top Atlanta on some of them. We're not as large, maybe, but we're very, especially in our Lyft services. We are really impressive that around. But, you know, I really am worried because, as we were talking earlier, the feds have been a major source of our funding because we're so progressive. And they have looked upon us very kindly under both Democratic and Republican past administrations. But Blake made me rethink the fact that this administration might be very different, and
well,
that would be
sad. We just
don't
know what's going to happen.
We don't.
With
we
this
don't.
Administration, you just never know.
Right, but that would be that. So that really does worry me because I think most of that $75 million is going to go in Atlanta to trying to get to incentives to get those two groups to be state controlled, regionalized.
Yeah, and one of the things I like to see here with the transit was able to do, through the Mayor Commission, they were able to do some stuff with youth development as far as the transit by providing, you know, free ridership for, you know, high school age kids. As long as they could provide like a school ID or something like that, they could ride for free. I think they just did that for 1 year or so.
I think it's been made permanent now.
It's been made permanent?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that
we
is
really
a good plan,
did not.
Broderick, yeah. You're right. That mm-hmm. is something that definitely benefits our area youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not
young
only does
people,
it benefit the kids, but you know, you get them used to riding transit, so they become familiar with it, as
comfortable,
they grow older.
And it's right. just a go-to mode of transportation.
Right. It means that a lot of kids whose parents are working 2-3 jobs and don't have car transportation all the time, that they can start participating in some of these extracurricular activities that are so important to building their feeling of ownership and their potential. So,
I will say that's a great benefit we have being part of the UGA community is that everybody can ride a UGA bus, but in addition, we can ride the Athens Transit for free because the university pays a certain amount every year mm-hmm. so that employees, faculty, staff, students, everyone can ride the Athens buses
right.
also.
And one interesting thing I learned the other day when I was looking at this transit development plan, though, was that I didn't realize that there were like 8 or 9 Athens Transit buses that went through campus. And so one of the things this talks about is kind of spreading those routes out. And the reason for that is because of the construction that's going to be going on in Sanford Drive next year. When they do the West End Zone project, they're going to have to close that street. So
that it's going
to
be a little bit of a nightmare.
A little bit, yeah. But it might be a good thing in the long run because it's going to force everybody to kind of spread out all of those routes so maybe they can serve other areas other than, you know, just
right.
UGA buses following Athens Transit buses.
So you do want to get us out as many routes as you can as
yep.
opposed to everybody following the same lanes. I know you also were thinking, Blake, you mentioned stormwater for mm-hmm. Athens. That is something that on the agenda for us in a big way.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, it's not a sexy issue, but
but it's really crucial. Yeah,
but we have, you know, our stormwater program is partially funded by a fee that is charged to people based on the amount of paved surfaces that they have on their property. And the legislature, well, including one of our own state senators, Frank Ginn, I think is in charge of this committee that's looking at this, but, you know, they want to get rid of that. And if they did, you know, outlaw these stormwater fees, you know, a lot of people in Athens, they don't like it, but they're going to be paying two or three times as much because all of a sudden now you can't charge a fee to UGA or to the schools or the churches. And over half of the land in Athens is untaxable. Mm-hmm. So if they start having to pay for this with property taxes, I mean, you know, you're going to wind up paying much more than you're paying currently.
Right, but that's going to be true across the state. I mean, because the state most of the cities in the state have followed our example of making it a fee rather than a tax. And
well, it's more fair. I mean, it's more fair to charge it.
It's
everyone
the only
who contributes
thing that's fair.
To the problem.
It's the only fee that's fair. If you look, I mean, really. It's
thank you, Gwen.
Because everybody is sharing it equal. But the reality is that if we take that off, it's a federal mandate. We've got to do it. We're reclaiming almost 90% of our water right now. So we are in great shape with reclamation. And that's important. But we can't expand that with our growth if we don't have that stormwater.
And another thing locally is going to be, again, elections. We talk about this, I think, every session. You know, and our commissioners make the request. They say, can we please move our local elections back to November from May because the state told us back in 2010 or 2011 that all nonpartisan elections were going to be in May.
For unified governments only.
Well, and judicial.
Yeah.
But nonpartisan elections, which our elections are nonpartisan, were all going to be in May.
And that weakens our judicial system, too.
And participation is much lower in May because that's when the primaries are, and many more people turn out to vote in November. And so I think most everyone here would like to have the elections at the time when most people are going to participate. But, you know, every year they make that request, and every year it doesn't happen because the Republicans in Augusta like it that way. They think it's easier for them to elect Republicans in their city if they have it in May. And we're tied up with them because we're both unified governments. And so to change it, you have to change everybody, and they have more clout than we do.
We definitely get a much larger turnout in November because that's just how it is. Everybody comes out in November. It's ingrained in us to go vote in November. And we have, in Athens, people do go vote, and we still have low turnout in May. So that's something, unfortunately, if that doesn't change, it'll be the same thing.
Right.
So we are going to move on now to the upcoming day of service. And Broderick, I know that you are the chair of that steering committee, so I know there's a lot of things going on. Tell us, where are some of the things that people can, you know, dedicate their day or some of their day to giving back to the community?
Yeah, definitely. But before I run down that, I just want to give a little bit of background for the MLK Day of Service.
Great.
You know, for those that are just learning of the Day of Service, it was a national, you know, initiative that was started back in 1994, I believe. And Athens started to participate in it around 2002. So last year, we celebrated our 15th year of the annual MLK Day of Service, which is basically just a day of volunteering around your community to give back. So different organizations come up with different projects where people can, you know, offer their service through volunteerism, through cleanup sites, you know, through planting trees and things of that nature. So some of the sites that we have this year include the Athena Gardens community. It's like a garden work day. Beach Haven Restoration, it's like a tree planting. The Brooklyn Cemetery cleanup and beautification. Howard B. Stroud Elementary School Nature Trail restoration. You have Keep Athens Clark County Beautiful. They're planting daffodils on the one of the Loop 10 exits.
That's going to look nice.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
I think it's one of the ones by North Avenue, that exit ramp. Then you have the North Oconee River Buffer Restoration. So there are just a ton of sites just like that all around the community. where people can go out and volunteer. And you can find those sites on our volunteer registration at uga.givepulse.com. That's uga.givepulse.com.
And that's Give Pulse?
Give
Pulse. P-U-L-S-E.
Like your pulse.
Yeah, that's good.
P-U-L-S-E. Mm-hmm. And you can go there and see which site you would like to volunteer at. And we also have a kickoff celebration that starts before the actual volunteering at the sites. And it will be at the Clark Central High School, and it kicks off at 8:30 that morning. And we have, we give out T-shirts on a first-come, first-served basis. We kind of recognize some of our sponsors, and we provide light snacks and maybe a little bit of water and refreshments and coffee for those early morning coffee drinkers. We have free coffee. I think it's brought to you by Jittery Joe's, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll come out to the kickoff event. That's at Clark Central High School at 350 South Millage, I believe it is.
So I believe this used to be run by Community Connection,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think exists anymore. They got folded into United Way.
Merged with United Way.
Is the university running this this program now, the day of service?
No. Okay. They are a partner sometimes, but they're not running it.
But they're just hosting it on their website.
Yes. They're one of the partners at the table in the steering committee, yes.
Okay.
They just help with the service.
Right, and the Community Council on Aging has always done this, and mm-hmm. there's just, I don't know when we formalized it, but it's really been in our community a long time.
Yeah, since about 2002 was the first year we got involved with it, I believe.
That's interesting to me, because I remember doing it when I was mayor, it was in the 90s too, but... Mm-hmm. But it's really amazing. You go to the site, they give you all the tools. You have all these neat people that you're working with, mm-hmm. and you get a T-shirt and and you get a good feeling. And when Martin Luther King really was an activist, he was not a, and it's so appropriate that we use his birthday not to just sit at home and watch TV or read. But to go out and help our community in a way that feels good to everybody.
And I love how Gwen puts it.
Definitely.
Just sit around at home.
Right. But also keep in mind, too, that, Dr. King was a true activist, like she was saying. And, one of the reasons his life was cut short because he was helping organize union workers, mm-hmm. sanitation workers.
Sanitation.
And getting them their fair share and wages and whatnot, and affecting redirecting or shifting the economic mobility towards those that are less fortunate, which were African Americans at the time. So that level of organization and what he stood for and what he stood up for, it wasn't a popular thing at the time. So a lot of people try to whitewash his legacy and downplay a lot of the things that he stood for. But he was about jobs at fair wages and organizing those union workers and getting people their justice, so they can take care of their families. That's one of the reasons what I remember and honor his legacy about, this day of service is a great way to get back and get into the community to feel good, but let's not forget that part of his legacy as well.
Yeah, he was very active in securing economic justice.
Yes.
That's very important to him as well.
That's the part that you don't always learn about in school.
Yes.
Not the part. Yeah. We get the feel-good part, but not the real nitty-gritty that, you should be paid well or equally.
Yes. Just a couple other events that I think we should probably mention. We've got the Athens and Harmony concert on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the parade, I believe the second annual
parade.
MLK Day parade on Monday downtown at 3.
At 3.
3 o'clock.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by some musical performances, concerts, I think at Max following that.
They're mm-hmm. around that hot corner.
Just around the hot corner area in general.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Brooklyn Cemetery. Aren't they having a sign unveiling or something?
They are,
Wasn't it last year or was that this year as well?
They're having a
something.
They are having an event this year.
Right.
They definitely are.
After the parade or
no, I think it's before. I think it's at 12:30, I wanna say.
Well, if nobody's seen the gates at
they're doing something.
They did the gates, but they're doing I think they're maybe unveiling an interpretive sign or something.
Right.
Something else.
Something's going on there.
So I can try to check the website real quick.
Well, there's a lot going, and that's what it's just like Roderick's saying.
Yeah.
Go in and look at it and pick out the thing that you and your family, take kids, take This is not a day off. It's a day to really turn on your understanding of what needs to happen in our community.
There's also an MLK art exhibit at the Linden House.
Mm-hmm. Visions of MLK.
That's happening, right?
Yep.
A lot. There's so many things that that are available this weekend. So, Gwen, I also want to ask you about the library.
Right.
The fact that, you know,
we are the best. We are the best, and now everybody agrees and has said so. The Athens Regional System just received the Best Public Library Award in Georgia. And they really do deserve it. This is a 21st century library. They are not standing still at all. And the service that's over there, they just did this great thing where they looked at their words that were most important to their people, and it was an outflowing of appreciation for what's there. We're looking for board members for Friends of the Library. So anybody that's interested, let one of the staff members know and join us, because we have got the best and we are going to keep being great.
And I just want to say about the library, right, too. I mean, they do such a great job. You know, I mean, all of the kids' activities that they have, you know, on the weekdays and on the weekends, they have all kinds of community meetings at night, all kinds of different groups meet there, and it is always packed. And if there's anyone out there who thinks, why would you go to a library in 2018, people are going.
There's so many reasons to go, and all ages. They have things from little babies, literally zero aged, you know, up to adults and seniors, programs for teens. There's so many things at the library. So
they have literacy
with you.
Programs. They have English language. But if you want to learn a computer program, this is an amazing thing. You call, you make an appointment, and you have one-on-one teaching.
You just don't get that.
No.
For free.
That's a luxury.
And our things are free at the library.
Yes.
So many,
And they have a heritage room where you can go there and start to look up your family history and do genealogy and trace your roots, and that's also free.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have an art exhibit by yours truly.
That's right.
I forgot.
The Quiet Gallery.
Yeah,
it's
a
wonderful.
Gallery. So
congrats. I did a story on that, by the way. I remember that.
Awesome. But yeah, they have a multi-use, multi-function center there at the library, and it is, you know, like Blake was saying, it's always packed, you know, whether it's Chesson Community, Athens for Everyone, you know, a lot of different organizations use that space.
And I do want to say that they won the Georgia Public Library of the Year by the Georgia Public Library Service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the official.
That's the official.
And a ceremony will be Sunday the 21st.
That's our reception, yes.
Right.
And everyone is invited.
A second ceremony takes place at the Capitol.
On the 30th.
So the library is being recognized.
And it should be. And it deserves it.
Correct.
Yes.
All right. Well, that will do it for today. I do want to thank my guests, Blake Odd, Gwen O'Looney, and Broderick Flanagan. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station, Flagpole, or WXAG. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.